Welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
We also know and hold to the reality that Christ has given us three commands in the New Testament. And those commands are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel that he has given unto us. The gospel of our salvation, the gospel of grace, the gospel of forgiveness, who is Christ Jesus our Lord. These three commands we also know sum up the entirety of the scriptures from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. So when we think about what God has given us, it is full, it is complete, and in it we find the way of life. And today may we be found on that road as we yet again press into the Word of God, that we may be able to live our lives discerning the things that are going on. In fact, today's title of the sermon is What's Going On? The difference is discernment and delusion, and it's understanding what that means. Because when we look at things that are happening in our world today, how many of you out there that are my age, a little bit younger, are going to say, it ain't like it used to was? Of course, many of you may not say it quite that way, but you know what I mean. Because the truth of the matter is, things have changed. Things have changed greatly since we were kids. And I think about these young people today growing up, and this is their normal. It's not normal. Can I get somebody to agree with me? It is not normal. There is something wrong. So what on earth is going on? I mean, when we look at the division in our country, we look at the division in our world. Now, in our world, we come to understand that a little bit. We're different people groups. But when you look at the amount of division, not only in our country, but what about in families? Within a very family structure, what is going on? Well, you know, here a little while ago, we stepped into this thing and they wanted to call it a pandemic. Well, it is a pandemic. But it's not what they wanted us to think it was. The pandemic that is going on is a pandemic that Jesus told us was going to happen, and it is actually working its way out. It is a spiritual pandemic. And if you know anything about this, Pastor, and the teachings of the scriptures that I have given unto you, you understand that the spirit world controls everything physical. Can I get an amen, church? We are not the power that makes things happen. The power that makes things happen is in the spiritual world, and we in the physical world are reactionary to those very things. We don't see them, but that doesn't mean they're not there, because we who are in Christ have a way of discernment. We can discern the spirits. That's what the word of the Lord tells us. That through the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, we can test the spirits to see what is going on. What is good? What is bad? There is a way, there is a truth, and there is a life, and he is Jesus Christ our Lord. So as we walk into this truth today, as we look at what God is showing us, I want you to understand that we are walking in discernment, and therefore we can see what's going on. So what's going on with the rest of the world? Well, that's the other word. It's called delusion. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we are going to begin in verse 7 and read through 17. We're going to begin in chapter 2. Verse 7, and read through 17. Thus says the word of the Lord, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, from whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness, for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. For it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As I'm looking at these words and trying to understand what is going on, it is the understanding that right now things, they may seem out of control, but they legitimately are under control, because the word of the Lord here tells us that these things are yet under control. It's not been let go yet. Now, how many of you think things are a little wacky today? Well, if the Comforter who is here, if the power of God who is here, which is the Holy Spirit, and he's refraining this evil, and this is what it looks like, what do you think it's going to look like when he is pulled away? How many of you think it's going to get worse? Yeah. And that is the reality. Because there is a delusion being poured out upon these people, and they are believing it. We need to understand there are two forces in this world, a force of evil and a force of good. There is no in between. The only thing in between is the gray matter between your ears, and we kind of muddle with all this stuff. But God has given it to us in black and white, and depending on your Bible translation, some of it's in red, because that's the word of our Lord as he was here with us. But is this not all the word of the Lord, from the very first word to the last word? For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Never stopped being God. We have to say it like the Hebrews say it, understanding that this Word is still alive and active and working in our lives. So too, the evil one is working in our lives. Now, there's some folks who have said to me, you know, we just read it here, that for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence that they will believe what is false. So God causes people to sin. No, he does not. We all have free will. Each and every one of us needs to understand we have free will. God allows this spirit of delusion in the world. Did he allow this spirit from the beginning? Yes. That spirit was here with Adam and Eve. That spirit was here when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. That spirit was here when Jesus went on the cross. That's why he went on the cross, because we had free will. Who put him on the cross? Each and every one of us who has sinned. Thank you, Miss Eva, for raising your hand. You understand. We understand. The world doesn't. To them, when they look at the cross, it is foolishness. How can somebody dying on a cross be salvation? And we just sang the song that the cross is a beautiful and wonderful thing. It was a way of destruction. It was one of the worst deaths that you could ever receive. But yet we know what that underlying reality is, that as Christ gave his life for us, our ransom, we deserved that cross. We deserved that death. We deserved that separation. Jesus took it on our behalf, and all he asks us to do is believe and receive. Turn from your sin. Boy, that's the one thing you don't hear in churches anymore. You don't hear them telling people they have to repent. They don't tell people that you have to turn from your sin. Just believe, Jesus is the Christ, and everything will be okay. No, you've got to repent. You have got to turn. If there's no turning, there's no believing. If there's no turning, there's no believing. Because there are consequences to our sin, and there are also consequences to our salvation. And one of the greatest consequences to our salvation is the turning unto the Lord and the transforming of our beings, that we may receive the comfort and the good hope and the grace that comes to us. You see, our world is out here throwing stuff out, and the evil one understands that if he can get everybody to believe that he really doesn't exist, you know, he doesn't care if you believe in Jesus. What he cares about is, do you believe in him? Do you believe he actually exists? Well, no, there's no such thing as heaven, and there's no such thing as hell. Jesus was just a good man. Yeah, he walked on the earth. But was he God? No, I don't think so. Isn't that the reasoning we get from our world? But yet we understand that that reasoning is the doubt that has been placed upon this world by the satanic things that are coming. When I think about when I look around and I see, you know, how many of you watched the Olympics? How many of you saw or heard of the comments that were made by the people who, well, we really don't want to represent the United States. These are supposed to be the best of the best of our people going in there to represent us. And they're making a political platform for their own. And I think it's funny because they think they're echoing, they literally think they're echoing the heart of America. Excuse me. How many of you love this country? Without a doubt. Because I'll tell you right now, in many other countries, we wouldn't be able to meet here. In many other countries, we would not have half the freedoms that we have. And I do remind you all that we don't have all the freedoms that we used to have. A lot of it's been taken away because of the delusions that have been poured out upon this world. And I want you to think about, as we go through this and understand that God, through his spirit, because there's a spirit out there that's pouring out the delusion, and we just read about that. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. And there have been many Antichrists in the world. And we need to understand, you know, this is something that's been going on since before the time of Christ. And he said it's going to continue and it's going to get worse until the day he comes again. But for us who are with him, we are to walk through the sanctification of the Spirit and by faith in truth. So you see, both sides run by the spirit world. But are we going to be people of discernment? Or are we going to be people of delusion? Because if you are deluded, you are going to see things for yourself and what you want. But if you are walking in Christ, others, and I think it's amazing, because does it say up there anywhere, love yourself? No, it doesn't, does it? Jesus said, love God with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul. That means love him with all of you. And then he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say about loving yourself, because if we love God and God loves us, do we need love from anybody else? No, not really. Because once we have God's love, we know what real love is. And then we can live our lives loving others. You know, I think it's amazing because I did not understand being married. I did not understand being a husband to my wife. And what that meant, because, you know, here's this lady that she said she wants to be my wife, which is a miracle in itself. And then to stick around for 41 years, there's got to be something wrong with her. It's called me. But it wasn't until I understood the love of God that he gives me worth, that he gives me peace, he gives me hope, that all of a sudden I realized what it meant to love my wife was to receive those same things from her. and yet to give those things to her unashamedly, openly, and welcomingly. And then I met you. And guess what? A little bit lower level, but the same principle, isn't it? That as we love others, as we have the discernment of the Lord, we can see this person's walking in Christ. This person isn't. So I need to tell them about the Lord. No matter how many times things come against us, we keep going back. But you see, that's a problem with the church today, because the church has compromised the message of the cross. That the cross covers everybody and you don't have to do anything. But did not Jesus say, if you're going to follow me, you've got to take up your cross and follow me? That means your sin. You've got to deal with your stuff. And that's where the world fails. Because there are many people, I watched this just the other day, there are many people who call themselves Christian, but they live a lifestyle that is so unchristian, it's unbelievable. There are so many times I want to pull clips off of the internet just to show you folks. I was watching a program, and in this program, because it's how I get news, okay? This gentleman was talking about the problem that we have in our world today, because the church says both things out of both sides of their mouth. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I watched a young man who was dressed as a woman trying to defend drag queen book reading in our elementary schools. And he said this, I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus, so I don't see what's wrong with this. This is just the way I find joy. I need to ask you a question. Does that gentleman know the Jesus that you and I know? I got folks nodding their heads, no. He doesn't. He thinks he does. But we need to remember something, and this is something so very real. Does Satan believe in Jesus? Yeah, he does. He knows him. He knows him well. But does that mean he follows Christ? No. Because he has not the discernment. He has lied to himself to the point where he literally believes his own lies. And now he perpetuates those lies onto us. And there are many people who are in the Church of Jesus Christ that think they can continue sinning and have no repercussion, that Jesus paid it all. Well, you sing the song, don't you? Jesus paid this price of our sins that we repent for and turn from and are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit in. And that's what this scripture here is telling us about. For brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. What were the traditions? You have to remember, Paul is writing this, and they're just becoming the church of Jesus Christ. These traditions were the things that the Lord taught them, that he passed down to all the different disciples, that we need to repent, that we need to turn from who we were and to walk in the truth of Jesus Christ, in which we find strength and power for every day. And it's going to be difficult to walk in this world knowing that there are a percentage of people, and it's a high percentage of people, who are delusional. They do not have a sound mind. I mean, how many of you people think the world's half nuts? I'm telling you, I do. I look at the stuff that's going on, and I don't even want to turn on the news anymore. And by the news, I mean the mainstream media, because it's unbelievable. I cannot conceive where we are from where I was as a child and how innocent our world was years ago. I mean, you've heard me say this many, many times. as my congregation, that, you know, when I was 5 years old, how many of you were like this? 5 years old, your parents would kick you out of the house about 9 o'clock every morning, and they didn't want to see you back until 5. Our kids today, would you do that with a child today? Absolutely not. Why? You can't trust anybody. This world is pervasively evil, far more so than it ever was. You know, I think about the innocence that we walked in and the innocence that is lost. And that's what delusion does. It strips innocence. You know, these people that make the statements that I just spoke of, that this gentleman dragged in dress and spewing lies. But how many people are going to believe that? Because now it becomes acceptable to be something. Jesus didn't say he would allow us to keep our sin, did he, Miss Susan? No, he didn't. He said we need to turn from it. And that's the difference between discernment and delusion. And the delusion is going to get greater. The Lord tells us here, for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. In other words, God simply allows it to multiply. Once you have received it and you're walking in it and you are refusing to turn to Christ, he just simply allows it to multiply. Well, what about our lives as Christians? Can we get deluded? Yes, we can, brothers and sisters. But the awesome thing is the Holy Spirit is refraining it from us. Did you not read that at the beginning when we started? So we can discern the spirits to know, is this a good truth? Is this a lie? You know, is this from the pit of hell? Or is this just something of my own making? Or is this the Lord leading me into something? And the amazing thing is, we all know if it's the Lord leading us into something, it does not go against his word. Can I get an amen? It comes to the fullness of his word. And God speaks to us even more. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy. Just back a couple of pages in your Bible. 2 Timothy. We're going to begin in verse 10 and read through 17 here. 2 Timothy 3, I'm sorry. We're going to start in 10 and read through 17. For the word of the Lord comes unto us from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. Now, I'm going to stop there. This one I'm going to break up a little bit. Because I want you to understand, church, these things are going to come at us. Paul here is telling us that we followed him. In other words, we're walking into the very persecutions. We're walking into the very tests and trials that he himself walked into. But in them, he found purpose, faith, patience, and love, perseverance, okay? But he also found persecutions and sufferings. And that's what we're going to find in this world as we walk through discernment and disillusion. We're going to find that the delusion is going to try to pull us away from the Lord. And we are going to fail from time to time. But when we do, we also have the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin. And we see the sin for what it is. And we repent of the sin. And we turn back unto the life of the Savior. Can I get an amen? Because that's the difference between discernment and delusion. Delusion says it's all okay. Discernment says I got to change. I've got to change. And as I change, the image of Christ sets in me through the power of the Holy Spirit. However, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The discernment of God gives us everything we need to be able to succeed in this life, that we can walk with God, that we can be those people who are transformed, who see truth and lies. Our world cannot tell the difference between a truth and a lie, because the world wants all their stuff. Now, I don't know about you, but if you come to my house, you're going to find that I got a lot of stuff. How many of you got a lot of stuff? How many of us need to get rid of some stuff? Oh, you're going to point at him? I hate to tell you this. I'm talking to you, sister. I love that. Thank you. What a beautiful example of truth. Because we do. All of us have issues. All of us have stuff that we need to walk through. All of us need to come under the discernment of our Lord God. Because the one thing I know is I am convinced of the things to which I know. And as I grow in my faith, those things are made clearer and clearer as I walk. Can I get an amen? How many of you are seeing yourselves a whole lot differently when you first came to Christ? You understand that this is a transformation, and it takes time, because God sees us fully justified, fully sanctified, but we are a work with the Holy Spirit, that we are walking into a progressive sanctification, which takes us back to Thessalonians, what we had just read earlier, that we are sanctified through the Spirit, but it's a progressive thing that we are growing into. Just think about your life, and I really do want you to think about your life just for a moment. If God made you clear up everything that is in you that is wrong all at once, do you think you could survive? Yeah, I love Miss Dottie. She's got a big frown on her face like, nope. Yeah. He needs to take his time with us, and praise God that he does. His love, his mercies are fresh and new each and every day. But we need to understand, just as his mercies are fresh and new each and every day, so too the evil one is sowing more and more seed into our lives to get us to walk into disillusion. But Pastor, what do you mean? How does that work? Do you understand when Jesus told us the parable of the wheat and the tares? How many of you remember the wheat and the tares? Okay, they're out there and they're looking, and they look out at this field, and they looked at the Lord and said, hey, didn't you plant good seed in that field? There's a bunch of weeds out there. And what did Jesus say to them? An enemy did this, for I sowed good seed, and when I was not watching, he sowed bad seed. And they say, well, then let us go out there and tear up those tares. Let us reap them in and get rid of them. And the Lord, remember, this is called grace. He says, no, don't take out the tares yet. Because if you do, you're going to uproot some of that wheat. Wait until the harvest. Then I want you to go out and get the tares first and set them aside. Then bring my wheat into the barn, and now burn the tares. Brothers and sisters, is that not where we're heading? Is that not what we're seeing right now? The tares are being planted in our world. Each and every one of us needs to understand that the persecutions and the sufferings, all these things that are coming at us, are to get us to accept that stuff coming into our lives. And we cannot be people of delusion. We must be people of discernment. And that's ongoing, okay? Now, I'm going to pick on the medical establishment, because when we were going through that thing that all of us want to kind of forget but changed all our lives forever, they kept throwing out, oh, we got another booster for you. We got another booster for you. We got another booster for you. I think they're still using boosters. I'm not sure. I don't pay attention to it that much. I know the shots are still there. But you do realize that's a copy of the truth. Because we need to be in this word every day of our lives. We need to have that booster of God's word. That's what the church is here for. I loved it. I walked in today and I had to stop because Chuck was praying and I didn't want to walk past the doors because I hate, you know, you hear the footsteps and everybody looks up. And so I thought, nope, I'm going to stay here. And I just sat there and listened to the prayer going up. And I thought to myself, I said, Lord, this is what we're here to do. We're here to have good seed planted on good soil, that we may grow a crop 30, 60, 100-fold. But we need to remember that the same time God is planting, so too the evil one is sowing a seed into this world. And it's going to produce a crop. And we need to see it's there. We need to come against him and turn that soil into good soil and help those who do fall under delusion to come into discernment. Because that's what happened to each and every one of us. God changed our lives, and he used other people to do it. None of us got here on our own. And I hate to tell you this, but none of us get out on our own. Because all of us are depending upon one. And he is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Amen. So today, when you look at what's going on, remember this. These people are deluded. That's the truth. We can't stop the delusion from coming. But we can use our discernment to help them turn. Whether they receive it or not, that is entirely up to them. But are we not told in another parable that we are to simply sow the seed, the good seed of Jesus Christ? To that, let us pray this day. Father God, we thank you for the discernment that you give each and every one of us. For without it, Lord, we would be walking in delusion. But you have given us your Spirit, who gives us the strength to walk in that truth. You have given us the church that helps us to add more and more to that teaching and to walk in accord to your word, to know you truly and fully. Because, Lord, as we take you in, so too you grow in us. And we ask, Father, that you would use us to reach out into this world. And we pray for those who are out there walking in delusion because, Lord, they don't know. They don't understand. You spoke it from the cross when you said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Ignorance is a rampant thing because delusion is so strong. So help us to be a light, illuminating the spirit of darkness and bringing the spirit of truth, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. And to this, the church says, amen and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.